News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. That's who we are, solid conservative and just plain right. That's what we are. So, hey, listen, I'm looking right now, trying to find more details on that that press conference that Governor Greg Abbott of Texas gave just a little while ago. Good luck trying to find an article on something that came, you know, that's opposed to the mainstream media that happened just 30 minutes ago. But yeah, one of the first things that is being noted here is what I said earlier, that Governor Greg Abbott says Texas will send migrants to Washington, D.C. on charter buses. First published by the Texas Tribune. Governor Greg Abbott said on Wednesday that Texas will provide charter buses to border communities so migrants can be sent to Washington, D.C., where the Biden administration can better deal with them. That's that's funny. Other things that he's doing are he's authorizing increased vehicle searches at the border by the Texas Department of Public Safety. And I know there was more to it, and I thought we were about to hear, too, that he was going to be calling up more National Guardsmen and continuing efforts to build Texas build its own border wall. So anyway, there's that. Wanted to make sure you were aware. I got a section that we're going to do right now on the Triple Dipper. I call this the meat sweats. How many of y'all remember that episode of Friends? Copper, by the way, did Friends come out when, how old were you when Friends came out? Did it come out when you were born? I mean,
it was 90, so I must have been elementary school.
Okay, so you've watched Friends, though, I take it?
No, we didn't have cable.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, all right, just to back you up and to back up the audience then, there's this one episode, and it was hilarious. And so Joey, something about a big turkey dinner for Thanksgiving, and then nobody was coming, and it wound up being all his, if I recall. And so he had this vast turkey, and he couldn't waste it. He had to eat the whole thing. And so he did, and somewhere in the middle of it, he says, "Huh, now I'm starting to break out in the meat sweats." Well, so that still cracks me up today. Well, I looked it up. Apparently the meat sweats are a thing, and it's, you know, anyway, bottom line, the meat sweats. Why am I calling this segment the meat sweats? Because right now there is what some are referring to already as a war on meat. Well, you can just back off my burger and you can have my bacon when you can pry it from my cold dead fingers is what I'm saying. So just the other night, by the way, we were at my son's house and, you know, how cool is it when your son is grilling you steaks? Came up with his own rub, you know, and that meant, and those are some legit steaks. Grilled them, and my steak was as big as my plate. I mean, literally, I had to scoot the meat so it was hanging off the side of the plate so I could get the salad and just the other stuff on the plate with it. Last night I came home, the house smelled great because Charlene had beef tips in the crock pot, beef tips over rice for dinner. I'm just saying. Well, listen, first of all, understand this. As we look at the liberals taking what's being called a war on meat, and some of y'all may be thinking, a war on meat? What is he talking about? I'm going to get to it. Don't worry. I mean, yeah, they've got designs on you, you know, they've got designs on you eating meat grown in a Petri dish. They've got designs on, and this, I may have trouble with this segment because I've got a whole article here on reducing human emissions that harm the ozone layer by reducing the amount of meat that we eat. Oh, liberals, they crack me up. Yes, you heard me right. But first of all, do know this. This is a major, this is not only a dietary thing. This is not only a get out of my personal business thing. This is not only a personal liberty thing. And by the way, this is not only a thing that has been happening in the world since the beginning of time. This is an economic thing. So some of y'all may be familiar with the Alabama Cattlemen's Association. We have an amazing cattle industry here in Alabama. So whether it be poultry or fish or pork or beef, the reality is Alabama's got a ton of it. We are huge in the market. Here's some stats for you. Let this blow your mind. Alabama Cattlemen's Association puts out their annual fact sheet. Alabama cattle producers sold $391 million worth of cattle last year alone. Cattle are produced in every county And cattle production represents a $2.5 billion, with a B, billion-dollar industry just for the state of Alabama. That's a massive industry. In the nation right now, we are 23rd in the number of beef cows, but we are 8th in the nation for the number of farms. We have a lot of small farms. We have a lot of, you know, family-owned cattle farms that are still doing amazing work and feeding their families as well as ours. In January of last year, the last time there was a head count, there were 1.29 million head of cattle on Alabama farms alone. And the total value of those was $2.46 billion. Just the cattle alone, much less all that it takes to support the cattle farms and everything else. So then you get into the what I call the second and third order effects. Things like, you know, Alabama cattle depend on hay, right? So it's a major winter feed source. Cattlemen produce a ton of hay. In 2020, 2.3 million tons of hay were harvested from over 750,000 acres for a total value of $218 million of hay in Alabama. In Alabama. Folks, you can see this is an economic driver. According to the USDA, you might wonder, okay, what counties? What counties have the biggest, you know, level of cattle farming? Well, the number one is DeKalb County. And then number two, right here in the listening area, is Cullman County. 57,000 head of cattle, roughly, in Cullman County. Next one, just barely in the listening area, Blount County, 45,000 head of cattle. So, yeah, I'm just saying. And so I looked at this and I thought, okay, as I'm looking at a war on meat, as I develop this topic that I'm calling the meat sweats, what does this mean to our state if they really begin to pursue and prevail on their desire to see meat become less and less of a staple to the diets of Americans? Well, first of all, let's take a look at what does it cost to even buy meat right now? Have you been to the store? Right now, last I checked, bacon, and by the way, is there anybody that doesn't like bacon? Copper, do you like bacon? Please tell me you like bacon. Okay. All right. Good. I was just going to have to go ahead and just, you know, start praying for you more earnestly if you didn't believe in bacon. All right. But nonetheless, bacon, I believe, has gone up roughly 17% in Bidenflation. Wow. Well, here's a story off of an article I pulled off of an organization called investigatemidwest.org. What they basically are is a factoid-based website for Midwestern states. It says over the past 20 years, inflation on food prices has averaged about 2%, but last year it accelerated. Of course, we already know that. Inflation on food prices jumped 3.5%, which is an upswing of 75% increase, but meat and fish prices led the way. Beef, 9.3%. Pork, an average of 8.6%. Fish and seafood, 5.4%. Isn't it interesting that as we see the war on meat, suddenly it costs more to get the meat? Huh. Things that make you become a conspiracy theorist. That's what I'm saying. Well, so as I'm looking at this section that I'm calling the meat sweats, I found an article on the New York Times dated October 14th of last year. So this is what? 6 months-ish? And it basically says, can lab-grown burgers help stop climate change? They don't want cow emissions and they don't want people emissions. That's what's happening in this article. I don't know that I can get through this. The article starts off by saying humanity's love of eating animals should worry you. Even if humans are the only animals you care about, meat and dairy production is responsible for 14.5% of the planet's greenhouse gas emissions. I got news. We've had herds of cattle and sheep and everything else since time immemorial, and the ozone is still with us. There, I said it. To keep global warming, the New York Times says, to keep global warming below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, the limit established by the Paris Climate Accord, problem number one. The World Resource Institute, problem number two, says much of the wealthy world needs to cut its beef and lamb consumption by 40%. Well, forget you! Enter lab-grown, or as some prefer to call it, cultured or cultivated meat. First of all, this creeps me out. Coppers, this creep you out at all? thinking about yes. lab-grown meat.
Disgusting. I mean,
this doesn't seem right, does it? I mean, to me, it flies in the face of the natural order of things, just to say, what you eating there? Steak? Ooh, what kind of beef? Well, I don't know. They grew it in a Petri dish. Just anyway. All right, so I can tell the phones are already lighting up. Lab-grown meat. In the past few years, it says there's a small but fast-growing industry that has a mission to create meat from cell lines. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? To create meat from cell lines that doesn't just taste like meat, but actually is meat. Yes, meat grown in a lab, like in a Petri dish. I'm retching a bit on this. Okay. Hey, Copper, tell my caller we're going to take a break in a second. He might want to hold on to the break or call right back, all right? So let's do that. The story goes on to say, vexing as the problem for... as problem... beef is a problem. Vexing as problem beef poses for climate change mitigation already is, it's going to get worse, they say. Since 1961, global meat production has quadrupled. By 2050, the Food and Agriculture Organization estimates that global demand will reach 455 million tons. Now, here's the thing. Did you know that if we could reduce meat, they say we could also reduce the possibilities of pandemics? Oh, it all comes together now, doesn't it? Suddenly your meat costs more. They want you to eat fake meat grown in a lab. And if you do that, it might stop things like COVID pandemics. Give me a break. Then they also talk about animal welfare. Like, you don't have to believe that eating meat is per se immoral to inject. And it goes on. Okay, if you're treating the cow nice, but you still kill it so we can eat it, is that really nice? I get what they're saying. I know what they're saying. Don't call in. I know what they're saying. And then they go on to talk about, and foodborne illnesses. You can also prevent foodborne illnesses like E. coli. And so, how about this? Don't eat rotten meat. There you go. This article from the New York Times made me laugh. Well, when I get back, I've got one. I've got one that's titled from Forbes, "In the War on Meat, Count Me in the Resistance." I'm with you. I want my bacon. I want my burger. I want my steak. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and lovers of meat, carnivores, all of us. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, talking about the war on meat. The war on meat? Well, you know what? They're even calling it that. I've got multiple articles here in my hands that label it as the war on meat. One article here from an organization called the American Experiment. Dated August of a couple of years ago, August 2019, actually, 3 years ago. "The war on meat has begun. Join the resistance," it says. Copper, you may be interested to know that if you eat carrots instead of steak, it means you can effectively cut your own personal emissions by 2%.
Is that the reason?
Yes. So carrots, apparently, instead of steak. That's what everybody wants is a carrot burger. That's what everybody wants is a plate full of carrots and not a plate full of bacon. Gross. I'm just saying. Okay. Basically, it goes on to say, in a BBC report, a United Nations report came out that was being reported by the BBC, wants us to switch to a mostly plant-based diet in order to alter the weather. No. Would it work? Well, the answer is no. It says a recent meta-analysis of all the peer-reviewed papers on this topic found that if the average Westerner gave up meat altogether, it would only cut total emissions by just 4.3%. By the way, they are not talking about cow emissions. They're talking about people emissions. Let that sink in. I won't go further on that one. Okay, this is because food is only a modest part of our emissions, it says, and vegetables are cheap. Okay, anyway. Here's the thing. By the way, somebody tell me what good the United Nations is. I mean, good Lord. The former head of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, her name is Cristiana Figueres, mused this. She said, how about restaurants in 10 to 15 years start treating carnivores the same way that smokers are treated? If they want to eat meat, they can just do it outside the restaurant. What? What is... What? Okay. That's the kind of people that get positions of authority in places like the United Nations. But then it goes on to say in this particular report that globally speaking, as living standards rise, meat and dairy consumption is increasing. Okay, we get it. Throughout the developing world, it says when people get access to dairy products and meat, their stature and IQ tend to shoot up. That's a positive. Denying this opportunity to the many people who are vegetarians through poverty rather than choice would be grotesque. The United Nations posturing about meat abstinence sounds like they're saying, let them eat cake. And I agree. I agree. We are omnivores. You are correct, Copper. Yes, she's writing on the board. We are omnivores. We eat both meat and vegetables. Thank you very much. I like a salad with my steak.
Yep.
That's right. Does that count if I have potato chips with my, you know, sandwich? Or if I have fries with my steak? Does that count?
You mean are fries a vegetable? I don't think that'll pass.
Well, it's okay. Anyway, the next thing here is an article by Forbes, December of 2017. See, this has been going on for a while. And Forbes is saying, in the war on meat, count me in the resistance. That's my favorite title. I think that's my favorite title. Write this one down, Copper. Forbes, December 29th, 2017, in the war on meat, count me in the resistance is Phil's favorite title in a long time. All right. It says here, I love meat, whether it be a nice cut of steak or a mushroom cheese and cheeseburger or a hearty lamb stew cooked in my beloved Instant Pot. And, of course, I love bacon, says the author. But not everyone loves meat, and in the latest salvo of the war on meat, experts say we should tax meat eaters the same way we tax smokers. Are you hearing this? With respect to health, it is true that the overconsumption of meat can be harmful to one's health, but that's true of all foods, even kale, tofu, or bacon. Yes. And it points out, though, I mean, meat is full of things like protein, vitamins A and B1 and B12 and niacin, iron, zinc, all of this stuff. And it says right here, and this is, it just goes on to say, basically, in the war on meat, I'm a member of the resistance. Now, I just got a text of an article from March of 2021. Which looks a lot like one I've got from February of 2021. Guess who one of the greatest investors is in artificial meat? That'd be Bill Gates. You know what Bill Gates wants us to be doing? He wants us to be regulated by government. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But guess who stands to profit from us buying fake meat? Bill Gates. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right bunch of omnivores and carnivores. We'll be right back.